Well, it's really our pleasure to welcome Hall of Fame now coach Tom Izzo, but a great friend and also a Spartan for life as part of our theme for homecoming. So, Tom, it's really great to have you. It must have been a whirlwind sort of summer with the Hall of Fame and the Dean Smith Award and those kinds of things.
You know, it really was. It was, hopefully it doesn't change anything, but it, in a way, but it was, yeah, whirlwind, still kind of surreal. As Mark can attest to, you know, you get to somewhere where you, no different than either one of you in your professions, but where you idolized or looked up to people, and now all of a sudden you're kind of part of that group, at least in the way it is. But, you know, it's still good to be back home. Homecoming was a, you know, tough football game, but an incredible crowd. Got to meet a lot of great people. You know, I think we're getting more and more people back here. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to, you know, I met people that came through our place that had been 30, 40 years yeah. since they came back. And I think that's a tribute to you and what we're doing here. Just the between the building and between the way the place looks,
it's a special place.
It is.
No doubt. I, you know, going back to the Hall of Fame and having the opportunity to have traveled to Springfield and be part of it, what I was mesmerized with, I guess, I've been to a lot of College Football Hall of Fames, the National Football Foundation. This was everything about basketball. It was men and women. It was global. It was the NBA and it was college. It just, it impacted the game and not just a segment of the game. And that was really, you knew it, but you didn't know it until you went there and you saw the individuals that were part of that event, of the magnitude of this. It was almost, the setting was almost like a movie in what the building looked like and what the approach of individuals getting off buses or out of cars and coming in. But it was all a basketball.
You know, it's funny you said that. I didn't think about it till I saw Nancy Lieberman there. And that's what she was saying. She goes, you know, the one thing about our hall, it incorporates everybody, and it is more global even, right. You know. And the respect factor is the same. It's like we're all in this together. Yeah. The men, the women, the Europe, all the different countries. That did make it kind of cool,
yeah.
Especially having Yao Ming in there too as a guy. Cheryl Swoops was absolutely great. She added a lot to it, so it was good.
The other component you would see is you'd see individuals like our own Mark D'Antonio, but also broadcasters, as they would see Shaq or Yao Ming or others, jaws would drop. And yeah. You would see individuals that are revered in their own world,
yeah.
just being in a state of amazement of the individuals
that were
there.
Like you said, Mark, he was saying, did you see, you know, Lenny Wilkins was there, and Yao Ming, did you see how big he was? And
right.
And it was kind of a fun setting, but as we decided in our Midnight Madness, it was great to celebrate, and now it's time to get back to work and put
that
aside. We
just got to change the color of that coat.
Yeah, it was a little weird, you know, you think of the halls, they got the yellow for football, and ours is
the color of a basketball.
It's color of a basketball. That was the theory behind it. I think it went a little brighter than that. You know, I don't know. I would agree.
So let me stay with it. What did your mother think? You know, I know that, you know, so just, you know, from, you know, these Youper roots,
yeah.
And thinking about, what did your mother think?
You know, I think that was the best part for me. I did get to share it with the people that have been very instrumental in any success I've had. And for my mother, you know, going through the loss of my father in December and being able to be there healthy at 90 and walking the streets and for to see her get to see some of the people that, even if you weren't a sports nut, some of those people were just global people that you knew, and watch her get pictures with Shaq or something, and she actually enjoyed it. That was the thrill of the night. Yeah, that's a good question.
And talking to you and Shaq and others, I think the night was so surreal for the individuals that were inducted, that, and there were many people that came back, some of which Shaq didn't know or you didn't know right. were even there until after the event was over, but former student athletes, former friends. It was really refreshing to turn around and see individuals that on their own dime made their way to Springfield to be part of that because of the impact that you've had on their lives.
And then they had the Dean Smith Award. I mean,
you know, what can I tell you, right? That was not knowing as much about it since it's a newer award, but John Thompson was a recipient. But, right. You know, that very day, Mike Krzyzewski called and said, this stands for what you want it to stand for. The other ones is about wins and losses. This is about the integrity and what you did. And I think there's truth to it. Not that the others didn't have some integrity issues with it too, but I think what he was saying was true. And so that was an honor. It was a thrill.
So now you have to go play basketball.
I got to hang the orange coat in the closet.
I put that in the ring in a box, and I told my wife, you know, either very old or death. That's what we'll celebrate that with from now on. But, yeah, you know, and I really got a fun team. You know, I've had a few injuries, but I got as good a group of freshmen, some that I would like because they're high flyers and they're great players, some that you would like because they're phenomenal students. And I got a couple guys that are smarter than the coach. That's not always safe, but it is good. And I just think that I'm starting to see the culture we build is starting to pay dividends because people that are the superstars are coming in and they're conforming to the culture. The good players are coming in and doing that. And I don't know where it'll take us. We got an incredible schedule early, but I really like this team. I mean, last year's team was special because of just a bunch of good guys that worked hard. This team has worked this hard. It's got as good a guys, more talented freshmen than I had last year. But they're young, but they're going to be good.
They look like they're having fun together. When I've seen them on the sidelines or before the parade, there's a sort of a...
You know, they go to the football games together. They do everything together. This summer we were on the road, you know. We're going here and there together. We're going to the movies, you know, just last weekend. I mean, it's nice because in football it's harder to do with the numbers. But in basketball you can do that. But I can say in my years that doesn't always happen. Mark, you know that. And that is a good start, you know, just like for us. I mean, I think what's made this place special for me, especially in the last 10 years, is that we've really worked together from top to bottom. And I don't think that gets enough credit. You know, staffs are in credit. We're your staff. We got our own staffs, assistants, and people that work for us. Mm-hmm. You keep them all together and you get a chance.
When you look at the game itself, the Big Ten and the MAC, because the officiating is done together, came out with an announcement on review of block charges. Yeah. How do you see that impacting the game? Do you think it's going to slow it down? Is it going to make it better?
Yeah, I worry about a couple things. You know, I worry that we want to call too many fouls. Everybody wants this freedom of movement so nobody can guard anybody anymore. I don't think that's right. I think the physical play should be taken out compared to the way it used to. But the touch fouls that we had last year where the games are going 2.5 hours and nobody likes that. TV doesn't like it. The fans don't like it. The coaches don't like it. And the players. The hardest part about our sport compared to all the others, and Susie and I talk about this a lot, is we actually can lose players. I mean, hockey can lose a player for 2 minutes. If it's serious, 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But we can lose them for the game. And more importantly for us, if a guy gets 2 fouls, if a woman gets 2 fouls in the first 10 minutes of a game, now you're playing different for the next 30. You're either on the bench or you're playing different. And I think what we're going to have is the best players aren't on the floor as much. The problem is parity is a lot better nowadays. Mm-hmm. Nobody can have the great backups, as we learned at Alabama football. You know, as soon as you're not playing as a quarterback, you're transferring. Well, we have that too, even worse. And so if you get down into your second-tier people, I don't think your product's going to be as good. So I think you, as the chair of your thing, better wrap your arms around it a little bit.
No, I don't think there's any question. I think, anytime you look at rules and you look at voting, you have to look at what the infrastructure of that process is. And
exactly.
There's, you know, pockets of institutions. There's 65 in football. There's 120 in football at a little broader perspective. 350 in college basketball. And the rules are voted on by the 350. And there are some institutions that like physical play, and there are many that like freedom of movement.
Well,
at an extreme, I'm talking.
And you get a situation where the smaller schools that aren't going to have as big of players or as athletic of players. I mean, just the nature of the beast. Would rather those rules be curbed down. And so it is difficult. It's a difficult task. But when it starts affecting the game from a standpoint of the product you put on the court, then I think, you know, we got to look at it a little differently.
You got to take a good look at it, no doubt.
What we need is more delays. There are enough timeouts. Well,
there's something that you and I agree with.
I think there's great.
Maybe they could go back and review all the block charges in the 2.5 minute timeout.
And then reset the game and do something. Because I think people are very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
about all of this delays in the game, and then you add the free throws along with it. I mean, it's not the game is happening, but it sort of has this moment to it that it really has lost what I think is some of the specialness of basketball.
Yeah, I think from a flow of game, from watching the games, I would argue football and basketball, we need to do our due diligence of looking at both of those sports because they're so dictated by television on what they look like and how we can speed up the game.
But with, you know, that's why people are more and more, I mean, you know, taping, you know, getting a replay.
Mm-hmm.
But the excitement, I think, of collegiate sports are the people who can participate with the team.
With the event in
the stadium.
And having some flow to it, you know.
And because that's what people do regularly. I mean, there are a few regular NBA fans, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, you know, it's not hard to get an NBA ticket.
Right.
Except for the game, you know.
Right.
Here we have a lot of people who come every game
with
their families. It's a part of their ritual, and we have to preserve that for college sport, I think.
Let's talk about scheduling just for a minute. It's
was there an insane coach award for this?
Coach AD.
You know, I think one of the great parts of our program is to have the opportunity to participate in some of these national events with Kentucky, Kansas, and Duke, and it's something that's done annually, and it's probably looked at as the best event that goes on a season-by-season basis. The ACC Challenge has turned into something, but those are two events that are pretty much givens that you're going to play in at a high level. And then choices are made. Choices are made about events that give you an opportunity to play more games, the multi.
I was going to say, those two we can't change, nor would I ever want. If I had to play them back-to-back, that, you know, the Tournament of Champions with Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas is the second most watched night of basketball other than the Final Four. I mean, that's good for us. It's good for you, Luana, for Michigan State, for our alums.
Yeah.
That's one of those unique events.
Yeah.
But you almost have to play in one of those tournaments in Maui or Bahamas because of the game difference and all that to get an extra game or two. And
then your belief in
I think you guys got to look at that one.
No, I
agree.
You
know, because I think ADs, I think we're losing money. We're spending money and losing it to promoters, and sometimes I struggle with that personally.
Yeah. And then your memory maker philosophy of doing something for the men and women of the armed forces and going to Pearl Harbor and those are all things that are important in their individual aspects, and then it's developed a schedule. I mean, it's going to be a schedule that the student-athletes won't forget.
Well, this is going to be the weirdest of all 13,600 miles in 20 days, you know, and the biggest worry.
You track that down, huh?
Yeah. I think it's 13,625 if you want the truth. But then you got, you know, you got school.
Yeah.
You got a couple weeks before finals. You got Thanksgiving in there. You know, it just worked out that way, too. This was not the norm, you know.
Right.
Like, I know you and I still want to go to the Air Force Academy and the Army. You know, I think there has been – those have been so good for the players and I think so good for Michigan State and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the travel makes this a little more insane. It's just the way it works out. As you say, when you have those two staples of the ACC Challenge and the Tournament of Champions, you cannot change the dates of those.
Right.
So it sometimes creates a dilemma for you and me and – and yet, you're right, you know. It's still the same philosophy we've had. We get beat up a little bit early.
Yep.
And if we have cocky freshmen, they'll be uncocky.
Right.
And
you know where you stand.
And you know where you stand. You know what your strengths are. You know what your weaknesses are. This philosophy has worked for us.
Yep.
Some years it's been a little sketchy, you know. I think one year we were 3-7, and the roof almost caved in, and we lose to Wisconsin in the last play to – to or we win the Big Ten that year, we bounce back and get in the tournament. You know, I mean, it's what we've done to build our program and our culture. It ain't broke, so I don't think we're changing it.
Right.
I agree.
You know, along with that, the Big Ten has some scheduling challenges. Part of that has to do with the number of weeks this year, but we're going to have that in the future with moving the tournament to New York City, and that will be played a week earlier. One of the solutions that came out this year was moving some games into December, which is a challenge from our perspective as far as allowing student athletes to go home over the holiday break. Yeah. When would you, what's the earliest you would like to see or consider having conference games played?
Well, we really do have some issues there because we have different schools that have different final exam
periods.
And it really creates a problem. But I've just never agreed. I mean, it's one thing Jim and I don't agree on is that you're starting the biggest kickoff. And there's been times that we opened the season with Illinois and Wisconsin when the three of us were picked to win it.
Right.
During the biggest part of bowl games, there's no hype for it. There's nobody cares. The Christmas thing is bothersome. This year we planned the 27th. There's probably a good chance that on Christmas Eve we'll be practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And because we got a road game on the 27th. And
right.
I would rather play it early in December. I think if we're looking at student welfare, if you took all the things they get, a parent would still rather their kids home at Christmas for some period of time. The coaches would still rather be home at Christmas. You look at welfare for everybody, there should be a 5-7 day dead period
at that holiday period,
if you ask me.
It's not only good for the holiday issue. It is good for just mental break.
Mental break,
I mean, you take the end of the semester, from my perspective,
yes.
For many of these students, it is
taxing.
It's a huge transition, whether people, you know, were the 4.0 student or the 3.0 student in high school. It is a huge transition.
Right.
And having some family mental and also some fun time together that isn't around going to a gym and shooting or any requirements. I think people are talking about dead periods, but they tend to put them, you know, in the weirdest spot possible, whereas the holidays would be a really good spot to put them.
Yeah, we put them after the season, for example, or sometime in the summer.
Yeah.
And you're right, you know, that in-between period would be awesome. And you know, I don't know if we're going to have to cut back a game or two.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I don't know what we're going to do because it's hard to fit it all in there. I don't think you should start earlier. We got the longest season as it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we're really looking at what's right for the student athlete, you're right, Lana. The break academically, that's what we have,
physically,
a break. And
physically,
then you look at physically and mentally. And then just, you know, you try to preach the family atmosphere in that, and you got to have families be around to do that. So that is going to be challenging. I think, again, you know, you talked about 350.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get 14 people
to agree
with something. And I think that's got to be really looked at and maybe taken out of our hands to a certain extent because, you know, if we have a lot of things that are taken out of our hands for the student athlete. To me, this should be on the top of that list.
Right.
A break, you know, whether the holiday, just a break, a dead period. You know, they do it in business around the country. They, you know, our profs get a break here. I think it would be healthy for the student athlete.
I think to close off the conversation here, I think you announced you're going to coach another 10 to 20 years at Midnight Madness.
And you guys will have me.
And the high energy level that
I'll have my cane ready.
I might be right with you, but
the high energy level it takes to be a college basketball coach, you don't seem to miss a beat. I mean, you look energetic,
you know,
ready to go.
I do feel good right now. I really do. I think I have to learn. Somebody asked me, I did an article for USA, I think it was USA Today or one of the major news network, and they talked about that. You know, what would you do now if you could look back in 20 years ago? And it would be a good question for you. And I said I'd like to have a little more balance, but that's my fault. You know, it's not that I would work any less to get whatever job I had done. I'd try to work more efficiently and try not to let the little things get in the way of the efficient part of my job. And easy to say now, you know, you and I, Luana, kind of started the same way, and really so did you. You know, we weren't ADs or presidents or coaches somewhere else smaller to work our way in.
Yeah.
We got thrown into the lion's den, and it's been a one heck of a den, but there was no adjustment periods. You know, when you're at Northern Michigan as the head coach and then you move up to a small and then move up to the big time, you get some, when you're just thrown in, you're going 100 miles an hour, and rightfully so. And both of you have done the same. So the three of us are sitting here with the exact same resumes in that respect. But, you know, I think it's what's been good for me, especially these last lot of years, is, you know, we've had the leadership on top, and I'm not blowing smoke here, but it's been such a good relationship. We're doing a radio show together. We have meetings together. You know, you were my roommate in college here when I was came as a grad assistant. So there's a relationship, and yet we all understand we all have jobs to do. If you don't do yours right, you're probably not going to be here. If you don't do yours right, you're not going to be here. And if I don't do mine right, I'm not going to be here. But together, our chances are much better, and that's what's been so much fun about this job for me and why it's more relaxing now than it was even 15 years ago.
Well, it is, but we're so proud to have you as part of Team MSU. You're really a special person. And it's been interesting to watch all of us in many ways grow in our role, because we're not doing it the same way we did it eons ago, and the students are different, and all that we have to sort of adjust to. But they keep us both focused and alive.
Very good point. And, you know, alive means we're having to change how we do it. Me with the social media a little bit, everybody else with their stuff, but not change our principles.
Right.
And I think we've all. Three done a good job, so we got some more years left in us.
Let's go win some championships.
There you go.
We're going to have fun.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks, guys.